Let the church say amen. Thank Brother Jonathan for leading us in song. Always does a great job. Appreciate him so very much. Appreciate Deacon Johnny, again, getting our mindset and the prayer that he offered up. Appreciate you coming back to hear another portion of God's holy and divine word. Before I get started with the lesson on tonight, I'd like to reference back to this morning. I had misquoted Job chapter 1, and the verse should have been 20, and I said 29. 29 does not exist. Now, I know we corrected that on this morning, and that was for the benefit of those who was here, but I do believe we stopped recording at some point. And these recordings are usually connected, so those who may receive it will get that error, will correct that to Job chapter 1, verse 20, and not Job 1, 29, which does not exist. It's very important that we safeguard God's word at all time, and we're not too proud to correct our mistakes when things are made, and that's what it's all about when it comes to God's word. But in spite of that, many of you had many kind things to say to me about the lesson on this morning, and I appreciate that so very much, and I believe that those kind words were coming because many of you are parents, and you can relate to what I was trying to say on this morning. But I thank you very much for the kind words. You always have been so encouraging to me, and I just thank God for each and every one of you. As we continue for this evening service, we're going to continue to look at the whole idea of knocking. This morning we had the title, I hear you're knocking, but you can't come in. So we want to continue to look at that concept on tonight. We rightly discuss God's divine right to say no anytime that he wants, right? That's his prerogative. That's what he is able to do, and it doesn't matter when he does say no. We know that he is divine. We know that he is just. We know that he is right. And the best thing that we can do, as we try to discuss on this morning, is to accept it, fall down and worship him, and give him even greater love than he has given us before, because he certainly deserves that. It was interesting because our history, the Bible, tells us that our God, on occasion, will say no. And we know that to be factual, but when we get caught up into our own lives, when it becomes personal, if you will, sometimes it can be very difficult, and the whole idea is for us to develop ourselves in such a way to know that God is God. And we have divine examples through great men that we looked at on this morning. Moses being one when he could not cross over the Jordan to take the children into the promised land. Of course, we had Job and his prayer that he offered up on behalf of his children constantly. But God decided that those children would not survive, and they were not lost until Job. We talked about David and the fact that David had a great sin against Uriah, first of all, against God. And as a result of that sin that he had with Bathsheba, there was a child produced, and God said that that child would surely die, and that child did die. And then we looked at the one that you really have to kind of scratch your head and just look and understand the magnitude of the love that God has for us when it came down to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he asked God to allow this cup, this destiny that was set before him to be passed, not his will, but the will of the Father. And thanks be to God, and thanks be to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he followed through and carried through with that, giving us a chance today to be children of God, and we thank him so very much for that. But all those great men that we listened, learned about, there's none greater than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we appreciate so very much what he has done for us. But when we look at that concept again, it is a very unnerving thing to be caught on the outside looking in, isn't it? Many times we find ourselves places that we know we can't enter, we cannot go into. And no matter what we do, in other words, it's out of our control. No matter what we do, there is not a place for us to go in. And that's life. that happens on many occasions. But you know, I'm grateful tonight. I'm grateful because God has made a way for us never to be on the outside looking in when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to our final destination. It is a great thing for you and I to behold, and we want to look at that a little bit more on tonight. So what if I was to share with you tonight the feeling of never having to worry about knocking, asking to come in, and being refused? You see, that's what we're talking about on tonight. We don't have to be in that position because of the uniqueness of what God has done for you and I through His Son, Jesus Christ. Join me, real please, at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. When we get into this section of the Bible, book of Revelation is talking about the seven churches of Asia, right? And the different things that they had, and they had descriptive names to describe them and their personality as a congregation. You know, there was one known as a corrupt church and a dead church and a faithful church, but we want to look at the one that was a lukewarm church, because I think there's a piece of information in there that will help you and I to make our point on tonight. So Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse number 14, we're going to look at the descriptive church, the lukewarm church. The Bible says, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from the gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Notice verse number 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and" what? "Knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." When we look at this whole concept of knocking, as opposed to this life, and we find ourselves having to do things and asking permission, if you will, isn't it good to know that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will do the knocking for us? He stands at the door, and the Lord is going to do the knocking. And all you and I have to do is open up the door and let Him in. Isn't that great? Isn't that great to know that all has been done for us? It has been laid out for you and I. You see, the whole idea of the Lord asking to come into our lives, and He does. That's what it's all about. That's why He died on the cross for the sins of the world, to invite us to come into, to invite Him to come into our lives so that we can live for Him. It is a tremendous concept, and it's like opposite of what we looked at on this morning when these great men found themselves pleading and begging to God to go places or to save lives or whatever it may be. But you and I, you see, as we live our lives, what we can do is sit back. The invitation has been given already. Jesus is already knocking. And all we have to do is let Him in. It's a beautiful concept. It takes away all the pressure, if you will, of having to earn and do this. No, it's already been put in place for you and I. I don't know about you, but I am grateful for that. That the door, you see, is there, and our Lord is knocking, and all I have to do is to let Him come in. Now, I wanted to give you in chapter 4, the same book, Revelation. And believe it or not, we are winding down with this lesson because I thought I was long this morning. But when I searched and looked back, I wasn't very long. So you get a double treat, a double break on today, right? For those who will come back and hear God's holy and divine word. I want to give you just a look in, if you will, of the throne of the room of heaven. Because we've already established that Jesus is there knocking. We already established in the reading of God's word that all we have to do is open up the door and let him in. Well, when we enter, when we go in, what is it that we're going to see? And this is so beautiful because it's things that you and I have never seen. Now, I know we can equate things in this life. If we see something that is perceived to be beautiful, and sometimes they are, gold, silver, and all the beautiful things that we see, we are, you know, wow, it's amazing to see that. But our eyes have not seen what God has prepared for us. All those things that we know to be beautiful in this life will not hold a candle to what we're going to see once we enter into that throne of God. Isn't that exciting to know that there's some things that these old eyes here haven't seen yet that's going to make me stop and pause and say, my goodness, how beautiful can that be? Now, for a lot of us who are getting older and aging, and I don't expect young people to fully get it now because I too was once young. But as you get older and start looking towards this, looking past this life and towards the life that we're going to spend with our Father in heaven for an eternity, you get excited. You can't help but get excited. You done seen this. You done been there. You know, there's nothing really new that's going to happen in your life. You've seen the ups. You've seen the downs. You've seen all of that. So what do you have forward to look to? That time and that place where I can be with God forever. To see things that I have never seen before. I think it's fascinating when you really, really think about it. This is how good God has been to you and I. So Revelation chapter 4, starting at the first verse. Read with me, and if you will, let your mind drift. Forget about the day-to-day cares of this life for a moment. You know, all the things that's outside of your life, it's going to be there when we finish this reading. Nothing is going to change. So allow yourself just to imagine. Imagine you being in a position to see the things that are listed in the Word of God. The Bible says at verse number 1, Revelation chapter 4, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices. Seven lamps of the fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." How beautiful is that? Now, you may ask me, what do all those things mean, those creatures and eyes? And I don't know what all those things mean. I don't know. But I look forward to the time where I can go and see for myself and have everything explained to me. But this I know, it's a sight to see. It's beautiful. It's something to look forward to, you see. Something that you can kind of look and say, this life, remove me from the problems of this day. Let me look forward to the time, Lord, when I will be there to fall down and worship with you, with the 24 elders and the flying animals and all those beautiful jewels and all those things around. Let me see it. And it lets you know that it's well worth it in this life. You see, any and everybody won't get a chance to see that. Because Jesus is indeed knocking, and some people will not let him in. But thanks be to God that you and I have heard the knock. No matter where we were in our lives and when that time happened, we heard the knock. And by the grace of God, he spared life to give us opportunity to obey him, to say yes to him. And here we find ourselves today in a position to see the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And make no mistake about it, it's for those who love him. Because if you make it to heaven, trust me, you love the Lord. Because there's everything around you trying to prevent you from going to heaven. So you got to work out your own salvation, as the Bible says, see? You got to fight your way through all these things. Keep your eyes on the prize and say, yes, I'm going to live. I'm going to sustain myself. I am going to remain faithful until the end. I'm just glad there's something to see in the end. I'm just glad that where we'll go, there'll be no more pain and suffering. Isn't that? There'll be no more worries about our children and all those different things. No more all those things that bring us down. Every day, we're going to be there worshiping God day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And you know what? It's going to be a great place. And there'll be no stragglers up there. Nobody who happened to just, you know, accidentally made it there. Who's going to come up there and bring trouble up there? They won't make it. They won't make it. Everyone that will be there will be broken, as Brother Bill said earlier today, and accepting the fact that there is a God. I am in a prepared place that was for a prepared people. Now, you and I just need to be there. Do all that we can. Love what we need to love. Love our families. Do what we need to do. Don't get caught up in this life that anything that will cause you to lose your home in heaven. Jesus is doing the knocking. All we have to do is let him in. To God be the glory. If you're here tonight, you're not a child of God, we want you, we invite you to become a child of God. You come by hearing his word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is. Then we need to, of course, repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then we need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. If you confess me before men, I confess you for my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. Then we need to be baptized in water for the remission of my sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then what we're talking about tonight, we need to remain faithful until the end. Revelation chapter 2 and the verses 10. Hang in their church. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? I can't wait. You see, getting to heaven is fine enough, but I don't know how it's going to work. But if we're able to recognize the very people that we worship with on this earth, say, in even in this congregation, to see that and to rejoice and know that God is able. I so look forward to that. I want to be with my God in the end. Don't you? And that's what can happen if we remain faithful until the end. If you're a child of God and you have not been faithful to Him the way you should, change that tonight. Come down and ask the saints to pray along with you. God will forgive you. He will put you back to the place where you need to be. If you're here tonight, you need a prayer, you know someone it is, why don't you come as together we stand and sing the invitational song.